Today's scripture reading is from Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Awe came upon everyone, because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all, as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
God has given us two institutions, families, and churches, to show the order of the kingdom of God in concrete terms in the world. And these two institutions are closely linked. Do you know what family stands for? Family, F-A-M-I-L-Y. F-A-M, Father and Mother, I-L-Y, I love you. Father and Mother, I love you. It can be said that a family is healthy when the family members are well communicated and have loving fellowship with each other. These days, when we can't meet worship in person due to COVID-19 crisis, I think it's time for each family to be able to practice various ministries at home. We are thankful that we have been able to worship God through online or printed copies of worship service. But we should be more prepared for other horrendous evil situations in the future. The Bible tells us that the early church believers kept the church as a worshiping community despite severe persecution and suffering. We also learn from the Bible that they were able to do so because the early church began as a home-based church. The house church model that the early church pursued could be an alternative church model in the future. Today's scripture offers us the very earliest picture of what Christianity looked like in the beginning. Let us look together at examples of the early church that we should follow. First, the early church was founded on the Word of God. Verse 42 says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Here, devoting to the apostles' teaching means they put a high priority on knowing the truth, the Bible. This also means that the Word of God must be the objective foundation of the church. Because the Bible is the Word of God, we must consult it whenever we face a difficult decision. When thinking about the future of the church, the church leaders must ask, what does God say about this? We must seek to know what God has said in His Word and then prayerfully apply it to our own situations. I am grateful and also proud that Centenary Church has been recognizing the importance of Sunday school for decades now. This means that there are many church members who are able to teach the Word of God. Having said all this, I want to share with you about my vision of starting a small group ministry where 2 to 3 families gather for worship and fellowship at their homes. I believe that through small group ministry, all of our church members will grow into mature believers with strong foundations of the Word. And that will lead Centenary Church to grow into a healthy church like the early church. Second, the early church was practicing a vital worship. Vital worship played an important role in the early church. Our text makes this clear in two ways. Verses 42 and 46 mention breaking of bread, probably a reference to a meal followed by the Lord's Supper. Verse 47 adds that they were praising God. Although they didn't state it as worship service, evidently they gathered daily to sing, praise, and share the Lord's Supper together. Our text also indicates that it was uplifting worship. Verse 43 says that people were filled with awe as they met together. People came with a mix of fear of God and excitement, wondering how God would work through them. It was also attractive worship. We learned in verse 47 that the early Christians had favor with all the people. Even unbelievers were amazed by the things they heard and saw and wanted to know more about it. This is not an issue of worship style. Rather, it is a matter of how passionate you want to praise God and how desperately you want to meet God through worship. It has been my fervent prayer that whenever we gather together to worship at the church, we will be filled with the Holy Spirit and witness the great work of God through worship. I am also praying that each family in our congregation will practice a Spirit-filled family worship at their home so that all the family members, parents, and children would experience spiritual growth together. I found a simple family worship guide offered by Christianity Today, through which you can easily follow to plan your family worship. I asked Chris to email the Family Worship Guide to church members for your reference. Please try to plan a family worship with your children once a week if you haven't done that. I am sure it will make a big difference for your family, especially in this challenging time. During the quarantine, we realize more and more that we are living in a different world now. Everything is done online. People are purchasing most of their products online. Not only that, school classes are being conducted online, and many workers are working online from home. My Bible studies and meetings are also done online. Since we are not sure whether we will ever return to our normal life again, churches should prepare for concrete online worship ministry for the future. Millions of people around the world are looking for answers and searching for the Word of God through online worship services. I am thankful that we have been able to offer online worship through the church website, thanks to Chris, who has been doing a great job putting the worship service together, and Alan Taxeras, who is a website master, to make it happen. I hope eventually we will upgrade the audio and video recording equipment in order to offer better quality online services. Third, the early church was promoting caring relationships. Verse 42 tells us that the early church believers devoted themselves not only to the apostles' teaching, but also to fellowship, which in the Greek word means to share something in common. This passage mentions three times that they ate together. We can get the idea that shared meals played an important part in the life of the early church. I learned from an evangelism class at the seminary that if you want to gather more people into your church, prepare fellowship with a meal or at least refreshments after worship. Sometimes people don't believe that, but it's not just a psychological fact that people like to eat together. It is also a biblical truth. In the earliest days of the church, Christians ate together as often as they could. I can't wait for us to meet at the church and eat together soon. I believe that a church that eats together will stay together, will pray together, and will grow together in every sense of the word. This idea of togetherness is so important because we live in increasing isolation from each other, especially during the quarantine. I heard in the news that the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic has made technological innovation 10 years faster. We admit that technology has made it easier than ever to avoid human contact. We prefer to use email or text messages, avoiding the problem of dealing with people face to face. Our quest for more privacy has come at the cost of enormous personal loneliness. Here is the question to ask yourself. Who encourages me and holds me accountable in my Christian journey? God never intended that you go through it alone. If you can't answer that question, you need to reach out and start building those relationships. Fourth, the early church was devoted to prayer. The final item of verse 42 is prayer. Obviously, the early church devotes itself to prayer. According to Acts chapter 1, verses 12 to 14, after Jesus' ascension, the disciples returned to Jerusalem and they all joined together constantly in prayer until Pentecost. Therefore, it is no exaggeration to say that the Christian church was conceived in a prayer meeting. And verse 43 says, everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. Is it possible that miracles happened precisely because the believers prayed so fervently? Matthew chapter 13, verse 58 tells us that Jesus was not able to work many miracles in some cities because of their unbelief. Could such a thing be true today? Beloved, where have you seen God at work in your life in answer to your prayers lately? Finally, the early church was effectively ministering to those in need. The final mark of the early church comes from verses 44 and 45. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone who is in need of. No one told them to do this. They evidently did it on their own. Why? Because they valued people over possessions. They must have taken Jesus' word seriously when he spoke about not laying up treasures on the earth. It's time to wrap up my sermon. The early church was surely a spirit-led church. It was a church with no building, no paid staff, no programs, no choir, no organ, no contemporary worship, and most amazingly, no internet website. And yet, they were filled with the Holy Spirit whenever they met at church or at home. Right before today's passage, verse 41 says that 3,000 people joined the church in one day. And verses 47, the last verse of the passage, says that people were being saved by the Lord and added to their number daily. Wouldn't you like to be part of a church like that? While I prepared my sermon, I asked the question myself, what made the early church so full of spirit? It is because of the Holy Spirit who led the church by pouring out gifts for service upon every believer. The Holy Spirit expects every believer to live their full life by utilizing their spiritual gifts in everywhere they are, at home, at workplace, at church. Remember that whatever you do is God's mission for the world. God puts you there to show the world the kingdom of God through you. Thus, I'm not going to ask you to stay at church all the time. Instead, let us all go out to the world as disciples of Jesus and serve the community where you belong with your spiritual gifts for the kingdom of God. But we need to return to the church to replenish our spirits through worship, fellowship, and Bible study. I would like to highlight a few sentences from the Companions in Christ book that we recently shared in class. I quote, "The church's mission is the total of the life and work of each member. We gather together and remember who we are. We gather in worship and prayer around Jesus, our Lord and Redeemer. Then we are sent out until we meet again. And wherever we go, wherever we do, we are God's radically available people who consent to be in living reliance on Jesus Christ so that the fruit of the Spirit may be grown through us for the nurture not only of the church but also of the world. Every one of us is engaged in mission." End of quote. Dear congregant, I strongly believe that what happened in the early church is still possible whenever the church is the body of Christ. Let us diligently live out our faith into the loving action for the world. May God bless Centenary Church to be faithful to follow the examples of the early church so that we may glorify God's name in this hurting world. Amen. Dear Father, thank you for your message today. Help us to continue mercy and justice works during the difficult time. Guide us to follow the examples of the early church. Help Centenary Church members to stay safe and healthy until the pandemic phase, and lead us to live faithfully in every situation. Amen.